Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings, and welcome to Animal Instinct, here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and today we're talking about horses, specifically what it's like to be part of a large English lesson/show barn in Westchester County. I've got Scott Tarter on as my guest. He's the man in charge over at Twin Lakes Farm, located in Bronxville, New York. Scott is the stable and general manager of Twin Lakes. He's been a professional horseman for 20 years in the Westchester County area and is in charge of daily horse care and operations. Scott holds an AAS from Cazenovia College in Stable and Farm Management and a BS from the University of Connecticut in Animal Science. In addition to his responsibilities as general manager, Scott also travels with the USEF and IHSA teams and drives the horse van and trailer. Hey, Scott, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for my little introduction there.
Well, thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it. You guys are busy in the horse world, so I really thank you. I know how hard it can be to get away for 20 minutes or a half hour, you know?
Absolutely.
So let's start by clarifying that your farms are strictly English lesson barns. Is there any Western or trail rides out of your places?
We do have trails there that all of our boarders use, but we don't so much do public trail ride lessons or public trail rides. Insurance here in New York has just made it cost prohibitive.
Mm. So how did you get into the whole horse world?
I grew up in Neuchâtel, New York. We had just moved up to Armonk, New York. I was about 14 years old. I had ridden some horses in camp and came home, and I said I want to take a few lessons and do something else. And about 15 years old, I was told to get a part-time job. I started at Shannon Stables in Bedford, New York, as a groom after school.
Yeah.
And actually now, 30 years later, I'm still doing it.
Wow.
To a certain point.
There's something about the horse world, too, boy. It really just, people really just stay there, you know? I mean, I think I'm the only one in my group that retired that's not still in the horse business. It seems like everybody else is, which is so cool.
It gets in your blood, and it's hard to get away from it. I tried to take a little break from it after college, but I couldn't stay away.
I hear you. So what made you get into a public lesson barn?
It was the right circumstance. My wife and I had, at the time, we were actually only engaged. We were looking at purchasing a facility. We were in between. My wife, Elizabeth, was a trainer, and I was a barn manager and a van driver, and we were looking to purchase a facility, and the opportunity came up at Twin Lakes Farm. The concessioner who was there, she was a widow. Her husband had passed away, and she was offered the opportunity of a 20-year lease with a 20-year option to do a big renovation on the single facility.
Wow.
She said, at my age, she said, it's not something I think I want to do. But she said, I do want to see the farm continue. I would be happy to sell the corporation to you guys and have it move on to the next generation that way. And that was how we kind of stepped into Twin Lakes in 2004.
That's really cool. And, I mean, Twin Lakes has been around, before Twin Lakes, it was Flying Arrow. Before that, I think it was Saddle Tree. I mean, that farm's been there for a long time. So it's nice that you guys are still there. That's really, really great.
Yep. The original structure there was from 1864 and was actually Dr. Brush's Cummis Milk Farm. He was the mayor of the city of Mount Vernon. He was a Civil War doctor, and he was his dairy farm originally. The only structure that still remains is the original stone tack room is still from the original dairy that existed there.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, it was there. And then in 1927, they built the North Stables, and it opened up as Wilmont Stables.
Yep.
So there were two locations, both within Twin Lakes Park.
Wow.
Yep. And they operated together. It was Wilmont next door, so you had Saddle Tree Farm on the south side of the reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
On the north side, you had Wilmont Stables. And in 1961, the Collinses took over the concession there and renamed the two of them Flying Arrow. And they remained Flying Arrow from 1961 until 1981.
Wow.
1981, the two campuses split. And the South Stables became Twin Lakes Farm, with Greek and Pat Neff were the two trainers there.
Mm-hmm.
And the North Stables was renamed Rudan Stables for Rudy and Dan Greco. And the North Stables went through five or six owners from 1981 until 2012. In 2012, that facility closed. Mm-hmm. It was offered to us to roll it into our lease, which we did. We gutted the facility, built a brand new 80 by 200 indoor ring, redid all 50 stalls, added lights to the outdoor ring, and resurrected that. So now we have two campuses on the same street, both under the same Twin Lakes Farm name again. And this December will be 2 years that indoor ring has been opened.
That's so great. I mean, that barn needed some love desperately on the north side. I'm thrilled that you guys have done all that work. I mean, how long did it take you to do that? That place was really needed a lot of help.
It did. It was originally, when it opened just as the Western Barn, there was no indoor ring. So every winter it would struggle along. It did take us about a year to get the permits. Then when we built the indoor ring, it became a question of what to house where.
Yeah.
You put the Riding Academy, which is the public lesson program, which is lessons from kids at age six all the way up for adults, interscholastic team. We have a therapeutic riding program. Where do you put that at the original Twin Lakes, the Blue Stables, the South Stables, or do you put it at the North Stables?
Yeah.
After weighing all of the options back and forth, and none was perfect, we moved the academy, which is the public riding program, into the North Stables. So there's 50 school horses there.
Wow.
There's 14 turnout paddocks. There's an indoor ring. There's outdoor ring with lights. There's indoor heated wash stalls. And the school horses have their own paddocks, their own space, and the riding academy kind of just rules the roost there.
Amazing. I can't even believe how much work you've done. I mean, when I was there last, there was, I think, two outdoor rings, no paddocks, no indoor ring, barely a wash stall. I've got to come and see it. I can't. That's so amazing what you guys have done to that place. It's fantastic.
It has let us introduce more programs there that when the two programs, which is the boarding side of the business and the academy, had to share the same space, it's hard for two of them to share the same indoor ring all winter long. Now that they have their own space, we have, there's private lessons, there's group lessons, there's kids lessons, there's adult lessons. We do lessons all day long during the day, and it's quiet. We do 10 or 12 or 15 lessons during the day.
Mm-hmm.
But at 3:30 in the afternoon, the curtain goes up, and in come all the kids, and we have a 3:30, 4:30, 5:30, 6:30 group classes. We have a very popular interscholastic team now, which is, I can explain later, is it's effectively college riding at the high school and middle school level. And then we have an adult class at 8 o'clock at night, and that barn closes at 9:30.
Wow.
So at the same time, at the South Stables are the boarders, and there's mm-hmm. 45 boarders. Some of those boarders are strictly recreational riders who enjoy riding. They go out on the trails. They use our rings, and it's a recreational side of riding. There are other riders who are kids and adults who show, and they show competitively.
Mm-hmm.
We have 10 USEF horse shows right there at the farm every year. So
wow.
we have students that have qualified for finals just doing our home horse shows without ever leaving the farm.
That's fantastic. God, that makes it so convenient.
It does. I mean, copyrighted tagline is where Westchester learns to ride, and we do kind of have something for everyone. I have kids that are age six. My daughters are 6 and 7, and they ride in the Riding Academy, and they take walk trot lessons. And we have kids that jump 3 foot and 3 foot six and go to Harrisburg and big horse shows. We compete very aggressively in the Fairfield Westchester Professional Horsemen's Association's high score program every year. And this year, I think we won a dozen or so of the divisions, and our kids are competitive across the board.
That's fantastic. Congratulations.
In the Riding Academy, I think it's unique because we offer kind of something for everybody. We have, you can come and ride once a week, you can come ride now and then, you can ride weekly, you can ride in group classes. We have a barn badge program where the kids, once you've shown that you're safe to be in the barn by yourself,
mm-hmm.
one of the teachers signs off on a 5 and 5 barn badge, which lets you go into the barn 5 minutes before your lesson and collect your horse, bring it to the ring, you ride for your hour, and you bring your horse back. The more advanced kids get a 30-30 barn badge, which is kind of a coveted thing.
Yeah, I bet.
They come in half an hour ahead of time. They check in with Carol in the office and say, who am I riding? Oh, you'll be riding Norman. Thank you very much. You head in. They collect Norman out of his stall, put him on the cross ties, groom him, tack him up, go in, ride for the hour. And then a half an hour afterwards, they untack their horses, bathe their horses in the summer. We have indoor and outdoor wash stalls. Then bring their horses inside and put their horses away. So they're really there for 2 hours.
That's so smart. That's so smart, because back in the day, I actually grew up at Twin Lakes Farm, and I mean, we would show up at, you know, 2:30, the second school was out, we'd be there until, I mean, midnight if we were loud. So I love that idea of just having a certain amount of time for the kids to be down there where they can really work with their horse. And the other thing that I really love about you guys is that you teach grooming, and you teach, you know, how to clean your equipment and, you know, how to pick out your horse's feet and all that. Because what I'm finding nowadays in the horse world is there's less horsemanship, and there's more just people showing up, being handed a horse, getting on, riding, and then going home. And I think the horsemanship side of it is so important, and especially for the bonding with kids, you know. I think that that's a really, really important thing.
Oh, absolutely. Even over at the boarding facility at the Blue Barn at the South Campus, we're a full-service barn, which means we will tack and untack for you. But I would say 95% of the time, that's not what the riders are looking for.
Yeah.
They like to come in a half an hour ahead of time. At the South Stables, we do lessons during the day, and then from 3:30 to 4:30, we have a hack hour in the indoor ring, which is kind of like free swim at the pool.
That's great.
They come in and ride, and then from 4:30, 5:30, and 6:30, those 3 hours, we have group lessons. Then again, at 7:30 in the evening, we have a hack hour, which means if you didn't lesson that day, you wanted time to be able to ride in the indoor. Now, that really only applies to the indoor ring. The outdoor rings, which do have lights, they can ride in weather-dependent at their leisure, but come about this time of year, about December 15th to March 15th, those outdoor rings become less useful from the footing freezing. So they're inside, and most of our riders show up ahead of time. They like to groom and tack their horses, and they like to put their horses away. But when you're 14 years old and you have school and you have other commitments, sometimes during the week that time just isn't allowed. So they'll call ahead of time and say, I'm running late. We have kids that come up from the city now and then, and they'll say, I'm running late. Could you please tack up Emma for me?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. They call ahead. We'll tack the horse up. Or the other way around. They come in early, but at the end of the lesson, they have homework. They have ACTs. I got it. But I would say literally that's 10% of the time.
Yeah.
So, and it's been running very smoothly. And then this September, we went through an extra expansion, an unexpected expansion. Twin Lakes Farm sits in the town of Eastchester, or Bronxville, New York, and we took over the operations at the Riverdale Stables in Van Cortlandt Park September 1st.
Wow.
It was, we went back and forth about it, and we said, you know, about a third of our riding academy, a third of our boarders comes from New York City. And they have limited options within the city. There's about 10 stables left within the city. And we said, you know, it's our closest competitor down the street. And it came up available for a concession. It's only a 10-year concession there, but another municipal farm.
Mm-hmm.
And we took over operations there September 1st.
Congratulations. That's huge.
It is. It puts our number, we do a daily count. It puts our numbers right now. Today's count was 161 between the three farms. There's about 75 or so school horses, and then the rest are all borders of a wide variety, and one brood mare with a few babies.
Oh, yay!
Actually, I'm sorry, two brood mares. If one of our staff is listening, and I forgot to mention hers. yes, we have two brood mares. One's pregnant, one's not, but yes, we do. And it's, I said, our IEA team has been very successful. Sarah Lawrence College practices with us. Their IHSA team comes and practices with us during the day. Access Equestrian in Westchester runs our therapeutic, our hippotherapy program for riders with disabilities. And in New York City at Riverdale Stables, Flying Manes operates our therapeutic program there for riders, adults and kids with disabilities.
This is so cool that you've got all these disability programs. I think it's so fantastic, because when I was there, we were just basically horse shows and lessons. We didn't have any of that kind of stuff. So the fact that you are moving forward with the times, and I mean, animal rehab and work with animals for people that have special needs, it's unbelievable to see how well it works. So I love that you've added that onto the barn too. It's so cool. How do you have time to sleep? I mean, seriously.
I tell you, I sleep well when my head hits the pillow. Elizabeth and I have been married for 10 years, and we have Allison is 7, Emily is 6, and Jack is 11 and a half months. So between the three of them and the horses, but I have, you know what, Kendley, I have fantastic staff. I really do. The Riverdale staff has only been with me 90 days, and they've done really, really well. We have we kept on the teachers there. We worked out the deal there to buy all the school horses so that, you know, little Scotty coming in for his lessons still sees all their horses there. The teaching staff at Twin Lakes is second to none.
Nice.
I have grooms that have been with us for 10 years. Our relationship with the county is fantastic. We do schooling shows at the farm. We do, which we just had last week. It's a different program. We have four. It's all school horses. It is just for our Academy kids. Mm-hmm. We have 4 schooling shows each year. Each one kind of has a little bit of a theme to it, like the Turkey Trot and the Sweetheart Show.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol, who's our office manager, keeps track of all the points for the 4 schooling shows. And at the end of the year in June, we have a Schools Out barbecue, which is a complimentary barbecue. We do hot dogs and hamburgers and veggie burgers and things like that. And keeping track of the points for those 4 schooling shows, we give out these huge ribbons and awards at the end of the year. It would be, my daughters take ballet, and at the end of the year, they always have a recital.
Yeah.
It's along those same lines. But if I'm a student, and I'm riding school horses, and I'm progressing, but I want something more to do, like, I'm riding, I enjoy it, but I don't have my own horse, I don't want to join the IEA team yet, I'm too young,
mm-hmm.
The drill team only has 14 kids in it, and our drill team competes, they just had their performance last week.
That's awesome.
So our schooling shows have been a great starting point for a lot of our kids there, and it's and the pictures are up on the website, they have a great time in it.
That's really great. So we're going to take a quick break. I am talking to Scott Tarter of Twin Lakes Farm. We'll be back in just 1 minute to continue the conversation.
You are listening to Fa La La De Fa La by Rene Lopez on Heritage Radio Network.
Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
Hey, what's up? This is John Norris, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network.
And we're back. I am interviewing Scott Tarter of Twin Lakes Farm, and we're talking all about horses and a training stable up in Westchester County. So, Scott, here's a question for you that a lot of people have asked me over the years, and I'd like you to answer it. Do you think the horses enjoy being ridden and being shown, and why is that?
You know, I think they all kind of need a job, and for the most part, so long as you're asking the right job of them, most of ours do quite well with it. I mean, I don't ask too much for them. You know, if you ask a small pony to jump a 4-foot fence, that's too much for them.
Yeah.
And if you watch our school horses, our ideal is that they do 1 lesson per day during the week, 2 lessons on Saturday and Sunday, and they end up doing 8 or 9 lessons a week, and they're not unhappy doing their job. Their ears are forward, they're sound, they're healthy, and they don't seem to mind their job. They are technically still, I don't want to call it a work animal, but it's not like they're going to be on the internet or on Facebook. They seem to be happiest when they have a job, and the job is appropriate for them.
Yeah.
A lot of our school horses were once show horses, and they were jumping 3 feet, and then they started to stop, and they started to pin their ears back, and they seemed unhappy with their job.
Mm.
You'd lower it down to 2'6", and then you lower it down to 2 feet, and then they become a flat horse.
Yeah.
They become a school horse. So I think it's finding the right job for them, and they get rewarded at the end. They're given a treat afterwards. They go back to their stall, and they seem happy with it because they never seem to show me an unhappy behavior, the kicking, bucking, pinned ears, kind of things like that. That's their way of saying, I don't like my job.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, you know, as you and I both know, and any horse person knows, that if you want a horse to do something and doesn't want to do it, it's chances are it's not going to happen.
Oh, absolutely. We have we do a lot of walkthroughs for schools and Girl Scouts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a no-charge kind of a barn tour that I do. And I try to arrange it when our farrier is there. And a question the kids always ask is the farrier is hot shoeing a horse or is nailing on the shoe.
Yeah.
And they say, well, does that hurt him? And I say, well, the horse weighs 1,200 pounds. And Ian weighs 120 pounds. If this bothered him, I guarantee you the horse would tell him, would let him know, and we'd be long down the aisle.
No kidding.
Now, we are we're in more of an urban setting than most farms, mm-hmm. so we definitely probably run into a few more unique situations than more rural farms would be, because mm-hmm. we're set on smaller properties.
Yeah. And so how long can a horse typically be a school horse? How many years?
We have a few that defy explanation. Horses used to live into their early 20s and ponies into their late 20s. But with vaccinations now, regular deworming, having their teeth done regularly, we have quite a few, especially the tattooed thoroughbreds, where you can lift up their lip and see.
Yeah.
And you look up there and realize the Quiet Canadian was born in 1989. And he walked
wow.
trot canters and still cranks right along. And it's surprising. Now, their workload's gone down.
Yeah.
That when they were younger, they were doing 3-foot work. Now they're doing walk trot canter work or walk trot work. We had a jumper named Herbie years ago, who you may or may not remember.
I remember Herbie. Herbie was a baby when I used to ride there.
And when he was, you remember him as a big jumper, 3-foot, like
yep.
walked by, genuflected at the door as you walked by.
Yep.
When he passed away at age 30, his yeah. final jobs in the end was doing walk trot with little handicapped kids.
Oh.
And it was finding the appropriate job for the appropriate horse.
Mm-hmm.
But we have some school horses that, as I said, Wildfire, I think, is our oldest at Twin Lakes Farm right now at 32.
What?
And I think that Eddie, who is 6 years old, is probably the youngest in the school. We have three babies, Trixie, Miffy, and Buster, but they're not in the school because they're too young. They're three, four, and five. But
mm-hmm.
the youngest in the school would be Eddie, and the oldest would be Wildfire. Carol's favorite, Norman, is 25.
Norman's 25?
Yeah, Norman's there. He was in the ring today, cranking
wow.
right along. So.
I'm impressed.
So it's not every farm would have a use for that.
I had
a parent ask me not too long ago, we have two small, they're large ponies, Charm and Lily,
mm-hmm.
and their jobs are to do the walk trot beginner lessons. And that's really all they do.
Mm-hmm.
They come in, they do the walk trot beginner lessons in the shallow end of the ring, and it's for the beginners, and they do two lessons a day, and they're fine. That works great at our academy barn, and we have a purpose for them. If you were a high-end Grand Prix stable and only dealt with Grand Prix horses, you wouldn't have a need for a Lily or a Charm because
totally.
You don't do beginner lessons, but
totally.
We do. So we have a use for something like that or a horse like that where other farms may not because we serve such a wide variety. We teach in, I guess, four languages. We teach in English, in French, in Spanish, and in Swedish.
Wow!
Yes, we have one teacher who teaches in Swedish. It's not that much of a call for it, but we have a great barn managers at each barn, but then there's the other side of dealing with the logistics
yeah.
of being on smaller properties. Our two Twin Lakes farms are set on about 7 acres each within 160 acres of Twin Lakes Park,
mm-hmm.
which is part of the Westchester County Parks and Recreation System. And we've worked hand-in-hand very, very well with Westchester County Parks. They've just done a huge renovation inside of Twin Lakes Park on the trails, redid all the
nice.
Bridges, redid the footing out there, have really reinvested out there. It's popular for runners. They don't allow mountain bikes. It is technically a preserve, if you will, because the water there is used as reservoir water, so there's no boating or anything else like that on it. But our boarders use the trails out there.
The trails are beautiful, too. I mean, I remember you going out there on ponies and just, you know, spending an entire day on the trails. And you don't feel like you're right in Westchester when you're in those trails. You really feel like you're upstate somewhere in the woods. I mean, they're lovely, and I'm thrilled that they fixed those bridges because, man, those things were really old.
Yeah, you can see when you come up the Hutchinson River Parkway just past across county, if you look to your left, you'll see they redid two of the dams and the bridges. And without the leaves, if you look carefully, you can see the new indoor ring at the North Stables.
Wow.
From the hutch, you can look over and see it. It is well lit, both inside and outside. So we have one farrier for both farms. I'm trying to think what else I could tell you about farms. We have the New England Equine Practice is our veterinarian for both
nice.
Farms. So we're open 7 days a week.
So, like, how much upkeep is required for a school horse?
They get vaccinated twice a year, spring and fall, plus they get a rabies shot in January and February. So
mm-hmm.
there's 3 rounds of vaccinations. They get dewormed. It looks like if you have a dog and you give them those little ivermectin pills,
yeah,
it's similar to that, but it looks like a tube of toothpaste. And we give it to them every other month on the first of the month, so they're getting 6 wormers a year. We rotate between 3 different ones.
Mm-hmm.
And once a year, when we do our Coggins test, which is a blood test, we do a fecal exam to make sure that there's no parasites. Horses eat off the ground.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. Our paddocks have hay feeders in them, but we fear the most is possums, the little critters, possums.
Really?
Possum feces carries EPM, and it's transferable to horses. So we're very, very careful to make sure there's no possums around. And, you know, they share the paddocks with each other, and deer come through the paddocks. Believe it or not, we have a lot of deer in East Chester, New York, southern Westchester. We have tons of deer living in Twin Lakes Park. And they cross the paddocks out there, so they're dewormed. So I would say the maintenance for them is deworming and vaccinating. Our farrier comes in, and he shoes our horses. They're shod every 6 to 8 weeks, depending on the horse.
Wow.
And they can be the more complicated shoeing because the older horses have bar shoes and pads and degree pads. It's a little bit of metalworking on the shoes and a little bit of orthotics, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
They get body clipped as they're during the wintertime. They all have sheets and blankets and turnouts, but they get body clipped because as their hair gets longer, when they go to work in the ring, they would sweat too much.
Yeah.
It would be like if you're out shoveling snow, you want to be able to take your jacket off. That's how we keep them body clipped. Our dentist comes. There's actually a horsey dentist. And he comes, and everybody gets their teeth done at least once a year. And what other remains? There's, and then on occasion, there's trips from the veterinarian. It's not that frequent, but our veterinarian does do things like joint injections, which on occasion, much like a tennis player would have like a tennis elbow or have their shoulder bothering them.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have times where a horse is unsound, is sore, and the vet will come down and block the foot and say, this horse's coffin joint's a little sore, so we're going to give it an injection there to make him feel better. Then he's sound, and he can continue working. So we work with our vet on a regular basis to make sure everybody's in proper health care.
I mean, I think I really appreciate how detailed you got into that, because a lot of people have no idea, you know, what a good good school barn and show barn actually does and how involved it is. You know, a lot of people don't understand the amount of time that these animals spend, you know, being groomed, working with the vet, being wormed, getting all, you know, all the vaccines and all that kind of thing. And, you know, for anyone out there that's thinking of possibly like, gee, a horse would be really fun to own, be aware of the fact that, like, you got to pay for this stuff too. So, you know, it's not you pay for the horse and then you're good and everything's great. Like, there are upkeep, like with all animals. So, not that unusual, you know?
Between their upkeep and the upkeep at the farm, because it's between the dragging the rings, doing the footing in the ring, that's the material that they actually ride on. It's not just concrete or dirt in there. There's actually rubber mixed in, magnesium sulfate to keep it from freezing.
Wow.
It can't be too hard. It can't be too soft. Keeping the tractors running, keeping the tack and the equipment running, keeping the just saddles and bridles. When you have 35 saddles and 50 bridles, something's always breaking.
Always
something going on over there. Keeping our feed in there. Our hay comes from Canajoharie, New York.
Cool.
Don't ask me how to spell that, but Canajoharie, New York. Our hay man comes down. Our shavings comes from the Laurentian Mountains up in Canada. The wood shavings is used as bedding in the stalls. Our feed comes in every other week, so it's a lot of materials in. And as you can imagine, when you clean the stalls, there's material going out.
Totally.
And there's big 30-yard dumpsters, and they get filled up, and it's recycled. It's not wasted by any means. That material is picked up by a company called Sweet Pete. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be giving them brand marketing there, but they pick that material up, bring it up to Paterson, New York. It's ground up and recycled and is sold off as top dressing and mulch. It's considered some of the top mulch out there. So it's not wasted by any means. Nothing really gets wasted at the farm.
That's awesome. That's so smart, too. I love that you're doing that because, I mean, back in the day, there just used to be giant piles of manure in the back. And really, the only people that ever took it were like some of the small landscapers in the neighborhood that, you know, knew it was there and would come fill up their trunk. But, I mean, it was, you know, unless a truck came to literally pick it up and throw it out somewhere, it was just sat there. So I love this concept that you've got of really recycling everything there, because if not, there's nowhere to put it, you know, as you know. And now that you've expanded so much, I mean, the mountain of manure that we had is probably three indoor ring or outdoor rings for you guys at this point.
Between the two campuses at Twin Lakes, we're doing about 10 containers a month. So
that
would be 300 yards a month. So you could imagine, yes, the pile in East Chester, you could see from Brooklyn if I didn't have taken away. And it's just the maintenance in and out. And that's, I do go to some of the colleges and speak, and it's a challenge we face that's different than some because we have an extra expense with that.
Yeah.
Our expense of running the farm between the staff, the labor, the insurance, the rent, the repairs, and things like if you were in upstate New York and you had 200 acres, you could make a manure pile in the back. You could let it decompose in the back. You could have some farmer come take it away. But in an urban area, now, that being said, we do, the North Stables at Twin Lakes Farm does between 330 and 375 lessons a week. And the South Stable does, because that's the boarding stable, does a little bit less, but they're in a different group there. But between the two campuses does well north of 400 lessons a week, where those same upstate New York farms that could keep the manure piles in the back do, you know, 300 lessons a month.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a difference being in an urban setting. There's only, south of 287 here in Westchester, there's only three stables left. Regrettably.
Really?
Yeah, there's other stables that you and I would remember, like Thoroughbrook Farm and Hilaire or Secor Farm. They succumbed to their real estate value over the years.
Oh, no.
The greatest example of that would be on West 89th Street in New York City, the Claremont Riding Academy. Yep. This April closed 8 years ago. It finally succumbed to its real estate value as well.
Wow.
Because we sit within the county park and we are on protected land, we should be here in perpetuity.
Good.
So it's not something that can be developed. So it does protect it and makes it available to the public. Our prices are cheaper because we sit on county property. Our prices are regulated as part of our agreement with Westchester County Parks Department. So our board rates and our lesson rates are less than our competitors.
Holy cow.
But we have a great opportunity to be in southern Westchester, to be right on the trails, to have two indoor rings, four outdoor rings, and have that kind of space available.
And I mean, one of the things that I love about Twin Lakes Farm as well is, you know, after growing up there and working there and all kinds of things, is that, you know, the equestrian world can be very, very serious, you know, and it can be, it's some of these kids, you know, some of the juniors are just so disciplined, it's unbelievable. And, you know, it's a very grown-up sport. And I love the fact that Twin Lakes, you know, at the shows, it's a different story. At the shows, you're pretty much a grown-up. But at home, you guys give the kids the ability to play as well and, you know, just bond with the horses. And, you know, if they want to go and give them some grass, they can do that. You know, the summer camp program with all kinds of games and all kinds of stuff like that. It really makes it a really, really nice community where the kids can be children as well. And I think that's really, really important for them too, you know? So thank you for that.
Yeah, no, I was sitting in the back office one day and I heard one of the little kids outside, and you have great up days in this industry, and you have some sad down days where a horse passes away, and you know, that's the downside of it there.
Yeah.
But on the upside, I was sitting in my office and I heard a kid outside in the front office next to Carol's desk, and she recognized another kid coming in for a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And this young lady rode regularly, and she was walking into a beginner jump class or a level one class, and she saw her friend come in from school who was there for her first time.
Uh-huh.
And she recognized her friend, and I hear the two of them out there, and she said, "Oh, I didn't know you rode here. Are you riding here?" And, of course, the one that rode regularly was very proud of it. She says, "Absolutely. I have a jump class later. This is like my second home. I love it here."
Aww.
I was like, "All right. It's nice when you hear that." It's like, all right, that's kind of vindication. We're doing the right job here. And I've had, it is interesting to watch our kids grow up. I have kids that go off to college that come in riding in the riding school, and then they do summer leasing. We have a summer leasing program where kids can lease school horses during the summer. And then they end up leasing a horse, purchasing a horse, going to horse shows, and they go off to college, and we kind of get to be part of that whole childhood.
And that's the heartbreaking one, is when everybody goes to college. Because, I mean, the thing about the horse world, too, is that, you know, if you want your child, or if you want a sport that's going to be like 2 hours a week, you know, if you get into horses, it's not 2 hours a week. 2 hours a week is pretty much the time you're, like, cleaning your tack, you know. And so, I mean, I remember when I finished up my junior years, I mean, leaving that barn was like leaving a family. It really, really was. And it was heartbreaking for everybody. The trainers are in tears. Everybody's crying, you know. But it was so nice, too, because coming home for breaks, you could go back and you were basically back at home.
I have kids coming home. I talked to a mother today, actually, who one of our girls is off at school in Texas. She's coming home on Tuesday night and intends to be at the barn Wednesday morning.
Yes.
And she said, "Oh, she's going to be there Wednesday morning. Absolutely, coming home for the Thanksgiving break." And I had warned one of our older students years ago where I said, once you've been gone for a few years, and this would apply to yourself as well, because you grew up at the barn, you know every square inch of the place.
Yeah.
If you walked in the back door now, someone would stop you and say, "I'm sorry, can I help you?" And you'd look up and say, "Well, hold on, this is my barn. I grew up here." And I've warned our older kids, remember, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, you come back from school, and the new kids, the next generation behind you, aren't going to know who you are.
No,
and you
not
come
at
walking
all.
In the back door, and you're coming in to come see your old horse or your old stall and coming to visit because it is coming home.
Yeah.
And they come in the back door, and I had a student that said to me, "Yeah, I walked in the back, and somebody stopped me and said, 'Can I help you?' I grew up here. Can I help you? This is my barn." But we have four or five of our boarders each year go off to college, and we're proud of them, and I watch them win their big awards at the high score dinners, and then they go off to school. And 20 years later, they come back with their kids.
Yeah, totally.
And we've had that as well. I've had people come in the door. The oldest I've had come in the door was a woman who said she was in Eastchester for her 50th high school reunion.
Wow.
So what does that put her? It's got to be 68, 69 years old. And she said she rode there as a little girl when it first opened. And she said, I remember this. And she said, my mother rode at Wilmot when it opened.
Aww.
And I said, come on down. I'd love to walk you through. So
that's awesome. So, Scott, what do you think the benefits of Twin Lakes are for the people that take part in there? I mean, what do you think riding does for people?
The kids get a huge sense of discipline from it. And as you said before, it's something that the kids that are boarding are there 6 days a week. But more important, our kids in the riding academy, they come every single week for 10, 12, or 14 weeks. And I had a parent that said to me, it was her daughter. This is her thing. She comes and does it every week. She's 10 years old, and it's the first time that they're kind of, I don't want to say in charge, but they don't drive.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, but they're in the saddle. It's their thing to own. It's a discipline that they have to listen to their teacher. It's both physical and mental. They used to say that the outside of a horse is good for the inside of a man, or a woman, as the case may be. I see the kids get a sense of accomplishment out of it, and it's not something that can be muscled.
Yeah.
Like, I've had guys come in that work out, and they got the big V-cut, and I had one gentleman came in, he was doing a TV show, and he said, I need to learn how to ride. And he hopped on a horse. He's like, oh, I'm big and strong. I can make this horse do whichever. I said, well, he's 1,200 pounds. I think that you need to learn how he speaks.
Seriously.
And the kids learn to listen to their teachers, and they get those little steps of encouragement. Another step, they learn to walk. They learn to trot. They learn to steer. They learn to post. The next step. And it's a discipline that can't just come easy. You can't just download it. It's something that you really need to put some time into. And there's a social side.
Yeah.
They come and see their kids every week, and it's something that they have some dedication to, and they can do their whole lives. We have our youngest riders are 6. Our oldest rider is 86.
Wow.
You know one of our teachers who's 70-something.
Yep.
But she won't want me to say her name on the radio.
She'll kill you.
but it's something, and it becomes a lifelong sport. And it's athletic. It's mentally challenging. It's physically challenging. And when you're riding, and you're listening to the teacher, and you're trying to remember to keep your heels down, and you're trying to remember to post properly, and you're trying to steer, all the problems of the world that exist in your life, they're still out there, but for the next 30 minutes, you really can't pay attention to those. And for that 30 minutes of that hour, you're focused on this. Those problems will still be waiting for you when you get done. But for this hour, you can turn off the rest of the world. It's you and your horse and your teacher, and actually have that experience together. And then head into the barn, put your horse away. The rest of the problems will be waiting later on. But for that hour and a half, it's you and your horse.
I love that. I love that. That's absolutely the truth. And Scott, sadly we are almost out of time, but I've really, really enjoyed this, and thank you so much for demystifying the magic of the school barn. Because I think a lot of people just have no idea, and a lot of people, I know when I was growing up, people would be like, oh, I've always wanted to go to Twin Lakes, but I just don't know. And then once they heard I was there, then they'd show up and get involved in things like that. But so I love what you're doing for Westchester. I love the fact that there's still horses going, that the farm still exists, and that you're expanding. I mean, it's something that you wouldn't expect in this day and age, So hats off to you and Liz and Carol and everybody else at Twin Lakes. I would love to give contact information for the farm in case anyone's interested and wants to find out some more.
Sure, absolutely. It's quite easy. The website is twinlakesfarm.com. Our telephone number is 914-961-2192. We're open 7 days a week. You can speak to Carol. You can email over to the office, and I really thank you for having me on the show. I would love to come back another night. But as I said, as you and I both know, there's so many aspects of the horse world there. We could have multiple shows on this subject.
Absolutely, and I definitely want to do one on horse shows with you too, because horse shows for you guys is a different scene than the Olympic team and stuff like that. But that being said, Scott, thank you so much. This was really fun. I really enjoyed it. It was good to catch up as well. And I'm Celia Kutcher. I'm the food healer. I will be back next week with a new show. So in the meantime, take care. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.